You are Locked On Cardinals, your daily Arizona Cardinals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It was an unbelievable Sunday night football finish that had the Arizona Cardinals rallying past the Seattle Seahawks and gaining their only lead of the game when Zane Gonzalez booted through the 48-yard game winner in overtime. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Bo Brock, it's Alex Clancy, it's all the Locked On Cardinals listeners, and we're pumped to talk about this one. We're going to try to keep our thoughts collected, but it's sure not to happen, Alex.
What the hell did we just watch?
I don't know.
I feel like that's a collective thought that everybody, you know, everybody had while watching that game. Bo, my initial takeaway from this game is Kyler Murray led two game-winning drives in overtime, and one of them worked. And all of that was possible because somehow Vance Joseph at halftime said, you know what? This isn't working. Let's try something else. And that something else stopped the most potent offense in the NFL. Those are the two big takeaways that I took. If we're looking macro, obviously we'll get into a bunch of different things throughout the next couple of days. But those two things were the big, big flashbulb memories I'll have Ed Romero from this game.
That's, as far as trying to sift through all the chaos that was the 37-34 victory for the Arizona Cardinals, I think that was actually a pretty phenomenal job by you. And that I don't ever compliment you. It's Bo Brock. It's Alex Clancy. It's Locked On Cardinals. Give the show a follow on Twitter at Locked On AZ Cards. Give Alex a follow on Twitter. Alex at Clancy's Corner. That's at Clancy Corner and at Bob Rack to follow me, Bo Brock. And of course, the Arizona Cardinals 5-2 on the season. Delivering the first loss of the season for the Seahawks because this football season is different and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. Become a member of the League of Football Watchers because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching, and I was spiking in celebration my half-drank Pepsis. You know, it was worth it. It was worth it for the mess in the living room, and it was worth it sacrificing delicious Pepsi. But let's get into this conversation. As Zane Gonzalez knocked the game winner through, Cardinals win 37-34 on Sunday Night Football, going into the bye week at 5-2 and chipping in to the Seahawks NFC West division lead. They're now 5-1. That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. Alex, you mentioned it with Vance Joseph, this defense, they'd given up over 300 yards of total offense, 27 points in the first half, and somehow they are able to dial up the correct blitzes, the best packages to confuse probably the front runner for the NFL MVP in Russell Wilson this year.
I don't know who should get the game ball. I don't know if the Cardinals should have won that game. But I do know that if you have a special season in line for you, teams win games like this, where it's just kind of an amoeba of mistakes and incredible plays. And listen, Russell Wilson he's the best player in the NFL. He probably could have won MVP the last 2 years, even though he didn't get a vote last year. Like, I don't know how the Cardinals won. The defense still leaves a lot to be desired, but somehow they, as you mentioned, cut into this lead. And now the Cardinals find themselves at five. They have five wins, Bo.
Yeah, matching last year's total.
Wins. And that's going into a bye week. This would have been a heart-wrenching loss if they would have lost in overtime after Zane Gonzalez missed the first 40-yarder to go into a bye. We could have to stew in that because there was a lot of positives. There were many positives to take away from this game, but it would have been marred by all the negatives that would have overshadowed everything if the Cardinals would have lost.
Yeah, so, and I think we need to point those out. I mean, when you talk about from the very jump, I was ready to say this at the end of the game. I thought, you know, the final whistle was going to be the Seahawks winning this one, and it was just going to be Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett were just better tonight. They were incredible. You know, Lockett has the 15 catches for 200 yards, three touchdown receptions, two of those over Patrick Peterson, who was in pretty solid coverage you know, that any cornerback that's making that coverage is making a decent play on it. And Lockett was just better on two of those plays. And then Lockett makes an incredible grab on fourth and two right around the in the red zone that extended the Seahawks lead in the fourth quarter. Their only points in the second half. He was just a madman. And Russell Wilson, you know, obviously is a madman out there with his three touchdowns, but they get the three interceptions. And we haven't even mentioned this. I mean, who the third pick was from. It was from oft-used first-round pick Isaiah Simmons securing it in the final like few minutes of overtime. It looked like this thing could have been destined for a tie, but on third down, after a DK Metcalf touchdown is wiped off the board, I can't believe what I'm saying. After a DK Metcalf touchdown, huge touchdown plays wiped off the board, his name wasn't even called all day. Isaiah Simmons, a guy whose name is never called, secures the pick. And after, you know, the Cardinals went down on their first drive in overtime and they kick it, you know, befuddling everybody on second down and Zane Gonzalez misses from 41, it sets up the game-winning 48-yard field goal. I mean, it was just, you know, it would have been just devastating to be on the losing end of this game. You're absolutely right with just the glass case of emotion that Sunday night was.
Oh, milk was a bad choice. I mean, what we talked about last week, a couple times actually, was Tyler Lockett's ability to know where his feet are in the back of the end zone. We talked about that a lot. I said that Russell Wilson is the best red zone thrower I've ever seen of a football in tight spaces. And we saw that on the fourth and two where everybody's like, oh no, he obviously was out of bounds. And you saw Tyler Lockett drag his foot in a spot that when you're trying to catch a football going at full speed and having the wherewithal to do that, if the Cardinals lose the game on that touch, you know what? Hands off, hands up to you, 15 catches, 200 yards and three touchdowns. You win. You're a cheat code. But it just seems like poetic justice that somehow Isaiah Simmons just falls into the lap of the biggest turning point play that the Cardinals have had this year. And listen, there were probably 15 turning point plays in this game alone. You know, Buda Baker's pick was a turning point. And then DK Metcalf stopping it was a turning point. Fourth and goal, they didn't score, was a turning point. There were 15 of them in this game. But Isaiah Simmons, that pivot, that interception, which was kind of oblong, the ball kind of fell into his hands, and when he just turned it, he was like, ooh, look what I have. And he runs, and the Cardinals score. Like, it's – that was maybe the biggest play of the year for the Cardinals so far, and it was from a guy who is pretty much forgotten. Like, we're not even at the point – when you and I are texting during the game, we're not even talking about Isaiah Simmons anymore. It's just, oh, he's on the field now. It's kind of like you hope that he fits into the defense at some point. But really, at this point, it's the Cardinals need to win football games, and hopefully Isaiah Simmons will be a part of it. The fact that he was such an integral part of this with one play, it just made this game even weirder, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, the coverage and just the defensive setup confused Russell Wilson like it did, and it just ends up, you know, with really nobody around him in the hands of Isaiah Simmons and sets up, you know, as we're staring down potentially a tie after the blunder, kicking it on second down, and the Cardinals are able to squeak out with the win, 37-34, is just, yeah, one of many just incredible things that were able to go the Cardinals' direction and set up this victory to put them in a position to go into the bye week at 5-2 and then take on a rookie quarterback in week 9 with a chance to get your 6th win. That would be the most wins from the, you know, the duo of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. And we're only, you know, we're before week 10 already. I mean, it's incredible. We don't have enough time to break it down in our, you know, our lead story segment, but we're talking about Sunday Night Football all podcast long. It's Bo, it's Alex. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, follow Locked On Cardinals on Google Podcasts. Subscribe to it wherever you find them. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We continue this conversation. Vance Joseph dialing up all the right schemes in the second half is what got this thing done. And Kyler Murray's performance, 3 touchdowns, 360 yards in the air, plus the 67 yards on the ground in the touchdown. We're getting all that. It's Locked On Cardinals. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different. Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Guzzling down Pepsi, watching the Cardinals Sunday night game against the Seahawks. It was glorious. Chips, perfect partner there, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Not those heroes on the field. It's those heroes in front of the TV. That's you and me. Pepsi, made for football watching. I think I saw it. It was Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray were the first quarterbacks in the NFL modern era to go over 350 yards passing and was it over 50 yards rushing? Was that the statistic in the three touchdowns?
I believe. Are you talking about Russell Wilson? Is that what you said?
Both Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, they're the first quarterbacks in the same game to go over 350 yards passing with and then also over 50 yards rushing.
I didn't see that one. I just saw that Russell Wilson had some crazy first half stat with 250 and 50 yards rushing for the first time in forever.
Yeah, it was unreal performances, and Kyler Murray was, you know, he had the one pick that it was dueling picks. It was Russell Wilson threw the one. It looked like he might have been trying to get rid of the football. It was either late third or early fourth. And Patrick Peterson's able to secure the pick. And then Kyler Murray throws a pretty crucial pick at the time that set up the drive where Tyler Lockett secures the touchdown on fourth down by being able to pull off the toe drag. But man, I mean, the offense, it was the offense that we've been clamoring for, I feel like, for the entire season. I felt like outside of the interception that it was making the plays necessary. And it was moving the ball, and it was, you know, obviously finding pay dirt in the red zone. I was very happy with the offensive performance on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, we saw different phases of the offense. We saw heavy DeAndre Hopkins early, and then we saw them try to get Kenyon Drake involved. It wasn't really working. Chase Edmonds was a star this whole game. He was kind of peppered in throughout. Whether it be through the pass game or the run game. I'll tell you what, after seeing tonight, Chase Edmonds is the spark that the Cardinals need out of the backfield. Like it's, and I know with Kenyon Drake going down, and we don't know exactly how bad it is right now. We know that he was carted off, but Chase Edmonds was a stud tonight. Larry Fitzgerald got involved. I mean, there was just a lot of. There was a lot of spraying the ball around to different receivers. Christian Kirk got involved, had two touchdowns, but a lot of it was just determined upon where they got the ball. Like, because there was a couple interceptions, they got the ball in weird spots. It wasn't just a run of the mill. Hey, this is the offensive set we're going to run, and you know this is how we're going to try and execute everything. It was just kind of let's kind of figure it out as we go, and it didn't work the whole time. It didn't work all the time. But when it worked, it really popped. And I think we're starting to finally see Kyler Murray is now the true bona fide leader of this team, vocal and on the field. You saw him ripping one of the tight ends for not blocking for DeAndre Hopkins on a bubble screen. And people are going to start listening to him now. You know, like people, he has the bravado and now he can back it up. So people are going to start listening to him immediately. And that's something that we've been missing over the last couple of seasons is leadership from the quarterback position.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I mean, you talk about Chase Edmonds, and I think we're going to see a lot more of Edmonds, unfortunately, because of whatever happens, whatever we find out about Kenyon Drake. But for the Arizona Cardinals to be able to, you know, get the field goal at the end of the half after a touchdown from the Seahawks offense, and they go up 27-14, and they are able to go into the locker room in a 10-point game, you know, it was Edmonds who was big on that end of the half drive, and he was big on the end of the game drive of regulation and getting them into the field goal range where Zane Gonzalez could get, you know, boot through the game-tying field goal. Chase Edmonds was huge. He was a star. He was the unsung hero probably of the night. And then you look at this defense, and they're just names all over the place. We know about Buda Baker. He brings in the first interception of the night, and he looks like he's going pick six. And then there's the freeze from in between innings in Braves games. It's DK Metcalf, you know, chasing him down. He's going 22 miles per hour, according to the StatCast, and Buda's only going 21 miles per hour. But Buda, you know, he's got the 14 tackles. He's got the tackle for the loss. He's got the pick. Son Reddick has 11 tackles. He has another sack. He's got a couple pass defensed. He's got three quarterback hits. I mean, it was an incredible game kind of all around. Guys were making plays all over the field. Byron Murphy had a big sack. I was very impressed, especially in the second half, by this defense.
And maybe the stat of the night, I mean, there's so many, so that maybe this is just one of them. And you can credit this to whoever or whatever you want, but the Seahawks defense was not credited with one quarterback hit tonight.
Wow.
Or last night. So, like, that is... I mean, I don't know if that's offensive line. I don't know if that's the severe lack of pass rush by the Seahawks. It's probably a mixture of both. I'd say 50-50 is being generous on the side of the Cardinals offensive line. But they've been good. You can only play who you play, that old cliche. And you know what? They've protected Kyler. And Kyler, you know, he's helped them because he's able to run outside the pocket. Obviously, he's able to scramble. But when things needed to happen tonight, they happened. I mean, this is like a UFC fight going five rounds and going down to the judges scoring. That's what tonight was. Last night was.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to. We can pull back the curtain. We're recording this on Sunday night. I mean, this was too big of a victory that we had to get this out. We have to talk about it. We have to start the discussion. We have to continue, you know, recap this game. And I mean, yeah, it's still the clock on our walls. It's still Sunday here. So I appreciate you trying to, with the theater of the mind, to keep on saying last night, but it's Saturday night or Sunday night. And, but what's interesting is, and you're watching it, and Chris Collinsworth called it out on the broadcast, and he was like, it was in the third quarter and they really hadn't blitzed Russell Wilson all game. And it was, you're like, well, why not? And they finally did. And it worked out, and they got the defense off the field, and they got the offense the ball. And then it was just a completely different game. As we said, just 7 points from this Seahawks offense. You know, the offense that was leading the NFL is going to continue to lead the NFL with points scored and per game. And they were just able to – we talk about adjustments all the time, and they made the right adjustments.
You know, so it was 377 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
572 to end the game. So, yes, the final number for Seattle is gaudy, but that's under 200 yards of total offense in the second half and overtime. So,
yeah,
that's a win. And those things, I mean, when you look at the Seahawks and especially Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson is now in that rarefied air of, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to play for another 10 years probably, but he's a Hall of Famer now. You know, he's not going to have to squeeze in like Philip Rivers, you know, et cetera. And when they come into town, he doesn't lose here. What is he? He was 6-1-1 in his last eight matchups. Is that right? In Safe Farm Stadium?
Yeah. So
when you look at the Big Brother franchise, the franchise that you're kind of always been chasing, at least over the last several years, and you beat them at home, regardless of the fashion, that kind of opens your eyes to like, oh, we can beat anybody. You know, it's something like it's the first time you beat a parent in a sport. Like the first time I beat my dad in basketball. It's not obviously that because they beat them in Seattle and stuff. But this is the first time where they put a roster together where they can make some noise. And getting a win like this when they probably shouldn't have won this game is monumentous. It's a huge deal. Going 5-2 going into the bye week is a huge deal, especially with those two grab box performances they put up against Detroit and Carolina, which seemed like last season. Like these Cardinals seem to be legit at this point.
Right. And you know, it's a different way. I mean, they did go to Seattle and they shocked them with a win when the Seahawks were, you know, trying to get themselves into winning the NFC West at that point last December. And it was a game, you know, Kyler Murray didn't even finish because of an injury. And it was a game that was in hand for most of the second half. And they were just running clock. This was where the Cardinals were put to the test. And they had to make stops on defense. And they did. And they had to make plays on offense, and they did. And they answered a number of the questions that were remaining. I mean, look at this defensive performance in the second half. Punt. They had a punt, and then they had a pick of Russell Wilson. And the only time that the Seahawks are able to score is off of the Kyler Murray pick, where it's a short field. And they go, so the Seahawks, they go 45 yards, and they score that touchdown on fourth down. Then they go punt. Then they go punt. And then they go interception. I mean, it was an awesome performance in the second half by the Arizona Cardinals, their defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph. A tip of the cap to him. There is one person that did not have a spectacular Sunday night. We'll tell you who it is. It's Locked On Cardinals. Bo and Alex, give us a follow on Twitter at Locked On AZ Cards, at Clancy's Corner, and at Bob Brack. We'll tell you who didn't have that great of a Sunday night. Do you know what the perfect partner for a Victory Monday is? A Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The new improved Built Bar is even more deliciouser with 19 amazing flavors, as if you include the limited edition strawberry that benefits breast cancer awareness, and it's some foundations helping fight breast cancer. And you get the 6 new flavors as well: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. And they're just as healthy as they are delicious. They're great for the health conscious person. Lose, maintain weight while indulging in this delicious treat. The bar is low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, but high in fiber, and great for the keto diet. Right now, Built Bar, you can go to the website right now, use the promo code LOCKEDON, one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order, and it will benefit some great breast cancer foundations using the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So everybody is pumped up about this Arizona Cardinals team, 5-2.
Woo!
Get the victory. You're looking at the NFC West, and they're right in the thick of things as far as the standings are concerned. Monday night, we'll get to see, was it the LA Rams are taking on the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football, so they're idle on Sunday. San Francisco, they get a win over New England. New England looks like crap, but the biggest thing was the Cardinals were able to kind of give that first hit to the Seahawks of the 2020 season and kind of keep them paced with them. But there was one person, Alex, who I thought had a rough Sunday Night Football. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't.
Cliff Kingsbury. I think Cliff Kingsbury had a couple mismanagement times in the first half. It was the fourth, you know, to go for it on fourth down following the Buda Baker pick. He can't get in the end zone. The offense can't get in the end zone. I think you take the points there. I think that's an easy call.
Agreed.
And then, of course, the kicking it on second down in overtime. I you and I both were in agreement on this one, and I like what you tweeted out at Clancy Corner that they it was a scared move because They had lost yards on first down. They had gotten themselves in the field goal range. It wasn't, I mean, you know, they're sitting there looking at at that point it was within, it was under 40 yards, and then Kyler Murray loses yardage on a design run. It was a bad play call, and they're like, oh, well, we got to kick it. And then, you know, it looks like the play clock's going to expire and they're going to get penalized. So they got to call a timeout. You know, Zane Gonzalez looked like he kicked it through and then he's got to line back up for it. And, you know, like it happens often, and he did, he missed it. So, you know, I thought Cliff Kingsbury probably had a couple things where he's like, yeah, I made the wrong decision on these.
It begs the question, Bo. Like, so say Kyler Murray got sacked. He got crunched a little bit. Like, it wasn't a scary hit or anything when he went down second and it went to second and 15. If Kyler hadn't gotten hit, like, say, I don't know. Say it was Chase Edmonds or something, and it was a run, and then it got blown up. I think they would have run another play. I think because Kyler got hit, then he's like, just kick it. Just kick it. I don't want Kyler to get hurt. We're in field goal range. But, yeah, it was a scary play. It's like, ooh, we could win. We got to kick it, right? And then there was almost a delay of game. Like, the whole – Cliff, he's not perfect, okay? Cliff Kingsbury in 2019 was the offensive coordinator for University of Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And then – The Arizona Cardinals called me like, hey, we want to interview you. And Lynn Swann, the AD of USC, said no. And Cliff's like, whoa, wait, NFL coaches are or NFL teams are calling about me? Oh, no, I quit. I quit. Because he had no idea. Nobody, he didn't expect this. So the fact that he's learning on the go, it's still like,
are you telling me that Cliff Kingsbury put down the tape measure in Clay Helton's office at the time? Because he was like, oh, wait, I don't have to posture to take Clay Helton's job in a couple seasons. Yeah. I can get a job at the next level.
Yeah. Because what kind of ridiculous thought would it be for somebody who failed pre-calculus to then get boomed up to calculus, you know, honors? That doesn't happen.
So, well, not only did he fail calculus, he did it where his, you know, his aunt was coaching the class. I mean, it was his alma mater. He was at Texas Tech. Yeah. And, you know, he goes 35-40 and he doesn't get to ride off in the sunset and have this great storybook ending.
So my point is that it's an inexact science at this point to know exactly what Cliff is as a head coach. Ask Mike McCoy, ask Adam Gase, ask guys, and those were obviously offensive coordinators, but Cliff, I guess, is the Cardinals offensive coordinator. So ask them how much easier their job is when you have a quarterback that could be a transcendent player. So, I mean, a lot of this is Cliff is going to learn about what calls to make, calling plays. He's going to learn on the fly. Kyler Murray's been doing this his whole life. So Kyler is able to make plays happen that aren't on any sort of playbook. He just kind of lives in the gray with that. But yeah, it was the wrong call to kick it on second down, but it worked out and you just take the victories. Nobody's going to remember them missing one and then making the other. They're just going to remember that they won the game.
Right. And to nitpick, it's 5-2 problems in second place in the NFC West, you know, after week 7. But it brought up too, and things that people might not remember in the next couple days, weeks, or whatever, is when it was about 5 minutes left in the game, and the Cardinals are running offense, and they ran 3 runs in a row. And I think you had mentioned, like, oh, what a great time to try to establish the run when you're down 10 points.
Yeah.
And you're right. And it took them 3 plays, and it hemorrhaged over a minute and change off the clock when you had no seconds to spare at that time. And they get a yard. It looked like they ended up like they wanted to take the field goal, but luckily, you know, it was one of the Seahawks defenders who got a leaping penalty or leverage penalty, and it extended the drive and they found the end zone. And next thing you know, they're tying the game on a field goal. But still, I think that was another problem for Cliff as far as his play calling at that time in the game. And it was very reminiscent to me. Very long ago, maybe a decade's worth of time ago, of how Andy Reid used to run, you know, fourth quarter offense when trailing, and people were not happy with that.
Yes, it does translate to that. It does parallel that. I could definitely see it. One last thing I'll say here, and I'm sure running up against it, that Seattle helped them a lot too.
Yep. You know,
like that. The unsportsmanlike conduct and the like, there were just some plays that were the David Moore hold, you know, like the Cardinals should not have won this game. They didn't put themselves in the proper position to win this game, but that's what teams have to do. If you want to make a playoff run, you have to win games you're not supposed to. And again, nobody's going to remember. They're just going to remember when, you know, tie breaks come for the NFC West in week 15 or week 16. They're gonna be like, oh yeah, that was a win in Seattle and against Seattle in overtime. But if the Cardinals want to improve upon this win after the bye, they're gonna have to really focus, like you mentioned, especially with Cliff, focusing on the right place to call the right times of the game. And again, it's a work in progress, and it's gonna be to the detriment of this team at times, but it's also just gonna have miraculous things happen because of it. So we just don't know which one it's gonna be on a day-to-day basis yet.
Yeah. And this was, we have to apologize, you know, at the end of this podcast right now, that this was just one incoherent thought of what happened and what transpired Sunday night. And we're going to talk about this victory even more so and get more into it, especially when Alex, he's got the hosting reins on Tuesday. And also this week during the bye week, we're going to talk about, you know, who could come in and help this team potentially at the trade deadline. And they might be looking at a running back if Kenyon Drake can't play for a while. I mean, I think that we're going to lobby to see more and more Chase Edmonds, but obviously you need some more help. You need a couple more horses in that stable. We'll talk about that as well. Looking forward to that. Give us a follow on Twitter at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Rack to follow me, Bo Brock, and follow the show at Locked On AZ Cards. Let's relish it. Let's enjoy a victory Monday. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.